Number two, giving is an act of faith. It requires you to step before God's promise is received. Okay, you can sit back down. Okay? Now, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Here's what happens. They come up to the Jordan River. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant and the Jordan River. It's in harvest season. You can read it in Joshua, the third chapter. What happens is the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They come up right beside the Jordan River and the river is just flowing. How in the world do you expect these priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River? It is no way. It's impossible. But here's what Joshua says. Put your feet in the water. Dip your toes is what it says. Dip your toes in the water. Okay? The priests dip their toes in the water. And immediately what happens? After they took the first step, it's the Jordan River is parted. And they walk across on dry land. You know what happens to God's people? We're not willing to just put our feet in the Jordan River. We're not willing to say, you know, Lord, I can't afford the tithe. You know, Lord, I don't have enough money to pay my bills already. You want me to give? Say, when I can't pay my bills. No, here's what God says. God says, you know, put your foot in the water. Put your foot in the water. Take a step of faith. Because until you put your feet in the water, the Jordan River, nothing's going to change on that Jordan River. Nothing. God says, give, and it will be given to you. Put your feet in the water. The story of faith, God's of faith and what it means to God is all in the Bible. Look at Abraham. Abraham had to leave Ur. He left his homeland was in modern day Iraq. Okay. Abraham had, God just said, hey, I'll show you where you need to end up. You just start going. He didn't even tell Abraham where he was going before Abraham took his first step. Why is that? Because Abraham was a man of faith. It says Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God's people must believe and it will be reckoned to us as righteousness. You know, it's interesting. I can believe Jesus Christ for John 3:16, but I can't believe him for Luke 6:38. Does that not contradict to you? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 6:38 says, give and it shall be given. Oh, I don't know, Lord, but that's my money. Oh, I see. So your soul's more. Yeah. Something is not right here. Oh, yeah, I'll trust you for salvation, but not my dollar. Man, that is, if that isn't short-sighted, I don't know what is. Abraham, Moses, Christmas, we looked at Joseph, we looked at Mary, looked at the shepherds, looked at the wise men. Every single one of them was required to step out in faith first in order to receive the promises of God. Why is that? Because God is relational. God is relational. Okay? He wants to know you. And so what does he do? Because he wants to know you. Don't ever, you know, people think God's just somewhere up there in the sky, you know, and he like spins the top and the world's like he spins the top and you know, he just sits back and watches the top, you know, spin around. Maybe it runs out of spin or something. God just says, oh, well, it's too bad. Top's finished spinning. No, that's not how God is. God wants to know you. He wants to know you. Your money is simply one of the avenues by which he reveals himself. He says, give, and it'll be given to you. Next, giving's a verb, giving's an act of faith. God promises to respond to us. And his response has two characteristics to it, okay? The first characteristic has to do with quality, the quality of what God will give you. The second characteristic has to do with the quantity. Notice, Luke 6:38. Here's what he says again. Give, it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. Okay? He says, good measure. He doesn't say sort of good. He doesn't say halfway good. He doesn't say good one day and bad the next. He says, good measure. He says, good measure is going to pour into your lap. Now here's where we get off track. How is it that when he says, give and it shall be given to you, we always think with a dollar mark. when he just said in the 20th verse, blessed are they who are poor and woe to those who are rich. What is God saying? Here's what he's saying. Take the step of faith. Let me give you the good things in life. Now, what does that mean? The good measure. The good measure means, well, some of it might be financial. It might be. But the stuff that really changes a life and makes a life worth living is not stinking money. Just give me enough money to pay my bill, Lord. Let me keep my home. Let me put food on my table. I don't care about the rest of it. I don't care about it. The good measure he's talking about is not all financial. He's talking about the things of God. Look at Luke 16. Okay, come on with me. Come on now. Look at Luke 16. Look at verse 11. Okay, we'll start in verse 10. This is going to be good if you will hang with me. It will be good, I promise you. Not because I'm going to make it good, because the Word is good. Here's what he says, verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. What is he talking about being faithful in a little thing? Your nickels and dimes. That's what he's talking about being faithful in. He says, if you're faithful in a little thing, then you will be faithful in a lot. And what is he saying? I'm going to test you in the little things, money, by simply saying, give me 10%. And see, if you are faithful in that little insignificant way, hey, that says you'll be faithful in something much more important. Verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, which is money, who will entrust the true riches to you? What are the true riches? That's the things of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the person of Jesus Christ. That's spiritual gifts. That's spiritual calling. That's spiritual ministry. That's what that is. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another, another is God, He owns it all. If you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another, another's, who will give you that which is your own? What is your own? That's the spiritual gifts He's talking about. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's what He said. You can't do both. Okay, you got to decide who's going to be your Lord. Go back to Luke chapter 6. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You see where he's coming from. You see how it fits together. Does that make sense? It's good measure. You know what that says? 17 years ago when I said to the people, I said, I am a thief and I put my money in there. That was one of the finest days of my life. You know why? Because from that moment on, God began to reveal Himself in ways I had yet to even imagine. The presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. The filling up of the Holy Spirit in my life. Faith and grace. God revealed Himself in ways I'd never even imagined. Now, when I put that money in there, did I say, oh, you know, listen, I think I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want this? No. I said, Lord, you know what? You said for me to do it, and I'm going to do it. And so I put it in the plate, and that's it, guys. And the rest is up to God. All I know is He's going to give me good measure. Not bad measure, not sort of good, but good measure. That's good stuff. Good. And the marvel is, He knows exactly what is good for me may not necessarily be good for you. And He will custom make your good to be in design and compatible with who you are and what your callings are, what your ministries are, and what He wants to do in your life to bless other people. Does that make sense? Look at this next part, though. It's a give, it's a verb. It will be given to you. It's an act of faith. Good measure, that's good stuff. He says, press down, just to make sure we know exactly what He's talking about. He says, press down. Shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. I gave you this illustration a few weeks ago, and I experienced it again this Friday night. Debbie and I went to the movies. Movie Co., okay? Movie Co.'s got a double-up combo. Two large drinks and a big bucket of popcorn, okay? Here's what they do at Movie Co. Now watch. You got this big bucket of popcorn. The guy takes the big trough, and he just starts putting it in there. And he puts it in there, and he pats it down on the top. He pats it down so you get more. Pours another one, pats it down. Pours another one, pats it down, pats it down. And by that time, the popcorn is this high, and it's rolling all over the sides. He brings it up, puts it on the counter. He's got so much popcorn, it's rolling all over the countertop. That's exactly the image God is trying to give you and I. Good measure. Pressed down. Shake them together. See that? Shake it. Shake it so you can all just get down in the bottom of that bucket. Now pat it on top. Pat it on. Pour a little bit more. Pour a little bit more. See, that's the quantity. The quality of God's blessing, His promise is, it's good. The quality is, it's good. The quantity is, hey, you know what? It's just flowing all over the counter here. That's why we say things like, you can't outgive God. Well, you say you're not quite ready, huh? Hey, that's okay. It's okay. That's what he says. Notice what the last point is. He says, by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. Wow. Hey, anybody in here got a remote at home? Anybody got a remote? Okay, now, if you have the remote, what do you control? The channel? The on-off button? The volume? Debbie can be sitting over there on the couch. She say, you know what? Will you do something? I got the remote. You know, I got the remote. No, I got it right here. I control it right here. That's just what God's saying. God's saying, hey guys, give. And it'll be given to you. Good stuff. Pressed down, shaken together, patted on top. Good stuff. But you know what? You control the volume. By the standard of your measure, it will be measured to you in return. So you can't quite do 10%. You want to do 1. Hey, it's by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. That's what he's saying. You control the volume. At what level are you willing to faith God? God, I can only do 1%. Okay, hey, 1% is all you're going to get. Now, it's still going to be an overflow of the 1, but you want 1, you get 1. You want 3, then 3 you get. You want 5, then 5 you get. You want 6, then 6 you'll get. You want 8, then 8 you'll get. It's your choice. It's your decision. You know, see what he said? Hey, it's your choice, your decision. It's a little bit different than in Malachi 3. Malachi 3, he said, you know what? You are a bunch of thieves. Luke 6, he says, you control the volume of how I give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You control it. Don't you think? And all of the stuff that's flowing over the sides, it's just an expression of God's nature so you will know the reality of who He is and that He keeps His promises. For a church, you know, there are 2 churches in Revelation that seem to pop up. It's one church called the Church of Smyrna. It is a church of church of tribulation and poverty. Nobody's got 2 nickels to rub together in that church. You know what he says about that church? In parentheses, he says, yet you are rich. Church in poverty is a church that has decided to depend on God. Laodicea, the church at Laodicea is a church of wealth. And he says to that church, You think you're wealthy, but you're naked and blind and sick. If you today are in poverty, you are blessed. Because what God does is when we are in poverty, He takes the sacrifice of poverty and blesses it supernaturally. See, giving is not about a dollar figure. It has nothing to do with the dollar figure. It has everything to do with the level of faith to give what I don't have, or the level of faith based on my obedience to the God that I love. That's why in Luke 21, He gives the story of the widow who puts two coins in the plate, and it's all that she has. And Jesus says, this woman has given more than anybody else because she gave out of her poverty. If you don't have enough money to pay your bills, you are blessed because you can give out of sacrifice, and God overflows sacrificial giving. So don't ever say, I can't afford to give. You really can't afford not to. Let's pray. I love you, Father. I bless your name. I honor the name of Jesus. I am so grateful, Father, that your word is so clear. There's no question what you say. No question. The question is not whether you have said it. The question is whether or not we will believe it and obey it. I pray, O Father, that we would be a congregation of believers and obeyers. Because you want to bless your people. You want to reveal yourself to people. You're a relational God. You're a loving God. But you put all the controls in our hands when it comes to knowing you. You open the doorway for us, Father, but you will not force your way in. Money is simply one of the many doorways, O God, that you use to reveal yourself. And so bless us, Father, as we seek to know you. Bless us as a people. In the marvelous, wonderful name of Jesus, this prayer is offered. Amen. I'm going to ask our musicians to make their way to the front of the sanctuary to lead us in a closing hymn.